Item 14, Daniel Forrest.
Well, I'll tell you two things before I start. First of all, this case has a little bit of everything you've heard today. It has riparian issues. It has oyster ground. It has floats.
All right.
Has a pier to nowhere.
You've covered all the bases.
But I've covered all the bases, but I'm going to be able to explain it to you in a manner that's fairly straightforward. Additionally, you want to note, since I'm sure you all read your evals in great detail, the eval for this project has been changed from what you were mailed. There's a completely new one, but all the changes are on the second page. And our evaluation recommendation is somewhat different than what you may have read when you got the mailed one. So if you didn't read the new one in your book, when we get to that, you might want to note that change. This is a oyster ground application, lease ground application in the name of Daniel Forrest and Deborah Pinkard. It's in White House Cove, which is a tributary to Bennett's Creek in the city of Pocosin, for 1.5 acres. And it is protested by a nearby property owner, Mr. David Bark. Those of you not familiar with Pocosin, this is White House Cove. This is the Pocosin area. This is White House Cove. Bennett's Creek, which goes out into the Pocosin River. You may remember you had a marina project just downstream from this location. This project is actually located here. It's a little closer view. And the area we'll be talking about is this cove and around this slight point here. It's located at the end of this Dead End River Road. Some of you who may know the area may recall there was a marina here in the name of Mr. Hartz. He used to take out fishing boat trips from that location. This is the Vigen photograph from 2002. And again, the area we're looking at is this cove area and around this point. This is Mr. Forrest's property, Mrs. Pinkard's property, and Mr. Bark's property is located here. A little closer view, I kind of superimposed the general area that was applied for, and you'll see in a minute a map of the actual oyster ground map that shows the application. Again, Forrest property, Pinkard, and Mr. Bark's property. And again, here's the application. I'm going to leave that one up for a second. We originally got the application in February of 2007, and we went through our normal public interest review of advertising in the newspaper and posting in the local area. No surveying of the ground has yet taken place because on May 9th, we received a letter of protest from Mr. David Bark. His objections included potential access issues to his property if oysters were cultivated within this small cove area near his upland property. He also noted that he had received additional correspondence from the applicant's attorney indicating that both applicants would fight any attempt by Mr. Bart to access White Host Cove from his property. He further stated that he believed any attempt to cultivate oysters at this location would require the use of containers or cages marked with stakes, buoys, or other gear, which would further restrict the area and be unsightly. He also sought some clarification about cultivating oysters in polluted waters. Staff responded to Mr. Bark by letter, which is in your packet, and noted that the applicants had indeed indicated that they sought to lease the ground and had filled out a use plan where they indicated they would use traditional on-bottom methods as well as tailor floats. Staff further noted that the use of any structures that extended more than 12 inches off the bottom to include tailor floats or any buoys or markers to mark any structures even of 12 inches in nature may require additional permit authorization from the commission. We also indicated that there were other leases nearby. You can see in this map, there is a lease here. There was formerly a lease actually right here that was dropped for lack of payment of rent. Mr. Bark was also informed that shellfish cultivation can take place in health department restricted areas, but that the product must be relayed to a clean area for future harvest with proper permits from the health department. Additionally, staff noted that the bottom land in this area is considered to be owned by the Commonwealth, and therefore the general public has the right to traverse the waters above those lands. We initially obtained some records from the city of Pocosin, land records through their GIS, that appeared to indicate Mr. Bark's property extended to mean low water. we're looking straight at Mr. Bark's property here. I'm standing on Mr. Forrest's dock when I took this picture, and his property is basically between these two fences, and you'll see a little stub pier there. And this is generally panning around the cove and around Ms. Pinkert's property, which is here, and the application would go around and to the other side of this point. And again, swinging a little further to the right, again, I'm standing on Mr. Forrest's dock. This is the plat that we obtained through the Pocosin GIS. This is Mr. Bark's property plat. This is Jeffers. That's who Jeffrey. That's who he bought the property from. And the area of contention was right here. Initially, based on this plat, which shows this is the cove, these little sketchy lines, says Brown's Neck Cove, appeared to indicate, you know, the water came up through this bulkhead with this stub pier. Although there is no note on this plat saying anything about mean low water or defining any of that area, this is some small notes about a pipe that was found. But basically, this is the outline of the property, and I don't think that's disputed by anyone. In talking to the applicants, I met on site with them last Wednesday, and they produced some additional plats. One of which is actually another plat of the Bark property, more recent plat, which indicated, and this is one of those. This is Mr. Forrest's plat, and the area again we're talking about is over here. This is the Bark property. Again, you see those two lines, but here you see a low water. Well, this is approximate low water at the time of this survey, and right here it says, you know, blown up here, this is just that section, that from this property corner, which is would be a common corner of Mr. Forrest, Mr. Bark, and Ms. Pinkert, that mean low water is 15 feet channelward from that point, and that this is actually upland. This is a plat done this year of the Bark property. Again, now we're back, this is the same area again. This is the property line. There's that little stub here. This is the bulkhead. And I blew up again this section right here, and you're not going to be able to read it very well because it's kind of blurry. But it basically, it's hard to read that, but that basically said 25 feet, I believe, to mean low, and it says to mean low water is out this way. So based on that information, it is pretty clear that Mr. Bark is not really a riparian owner. And his initial objections when he was questioning about access to the waters of to get in and out of this cove, we were assuming, based on the information we had at that time, that he was a riparian owner, and that, indeed, if this activity took place, it could have some impact traversing in and out. There's some additional history to this that Mr. Forrest may want to tell you from a previous owner, that this pier actually was being constructed further out at one time by a previous owner, and that's when this whole issue was brought up the first time. Through some action between all parties involved, the pier was removed back to here. The Forrest and Pinkerts agreed to, even though they believe a little piece of this encroaches beyond the property line on each one of them, that they didn't care if he kept that. And the property owner could bring a small boat in and, in theory, traverse across their property to access this little stub dock between Mean Low and the pier. So that still remains there, and I think that agreement has remained in effect. These are pictures I took when I arrived at the size of about 3. Low tide that day was probably around 5. I came back to the office afterwards and checked the actual real tide readings online, and tides that day were running at or just slightly a tenth or so below normal. So these pictures were taken approximately an hour before low tide. And the property line that you saw on those plats is generally an extension of these two piers. It comes out this way and it comes out this way and intersects right out off the end of this pier. But as you can see, if you extend that line straight out, and this is a very narrow area here, I can't get both angles at the same time, but that point would hit about right there. And it was not even low tide yet. This was still an hour or so before low tide. It is very shallow in this entire cove. But my site observation and the two plats, clearly, and the third plat, which doesn't say where mean low water is, and as a registered land surveyor, I believe that Mr. Bark is probably not a riparian property owner, and any access he has to this pier would only be at high water and would probably have to be with the consent of the property owners that actually own the up that small upland section there. So based on all of that, and since the protestant is not a riparian property owner, he certainly still has a right to object to the project. Staff believes that the leasing of the area is appropriate and recommends approval of the application as submitted pending the surveying of the ground. I made the applicants clear, and also, as I noted early in the letter to Mr. Bart, informed them that any additional floats or structures more than 12 inches would still require an additional authorization from the commission. So this is really just for the lease ground, which would allow them to do traditional methods and potentially structures or shell piles up to 12 inches off the bottom. And they are fully aware of that and realize that they would have to pursue additional permits for any floats. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Both applicants are now here. Ms. Pinker made it back. She had to leave and come back from this morning. I don't believe the protestant is here.
So the Pinkard Pier is the one on the left and the Forest Pier is the one on the right?
Is Pinkard, this is Forest, yes.
Okay.
So they're neighbors. That's the little sub pier right there.
They're neighbors, but they want to join together in the oyster ground.
Right. And okay. They can explain what relationship they have related to that, but yes, that is correct.
Does anybody else on the commission have any questions? Thank you. The applicants come forward. Raise your right hand. Swear the truth. The testimony you're going to give is truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to be first? State your name.
I'm Danny Forrest. I live at 125 River Road, Pocosin. Maybe a little bit of history here might help. Ever since I was, about 5 years old and able to see over a culling board, I used to work with my father during the summer months, and at 12 I was targeting oyster. So oysters go way back in time with me. When in 1982, when all the oysters were wiped out pretty much from Dermo and MSX, that pretty much stopped any summer activity I had as far as tonguing oysters. I'm a school teacher, so I was afforded the opportunity to work the water during the summer months. And after 83, I started running charters as a charter boat captain. But once the aquacultural methods came out, I'm a member of TOGA, and for about 10 years I've been experimenting with oysters at my dock. I have five floats. They're all tied to the dock. And about 6 years ago, I got Ms. Pinkert and her husband started with the method. And just this past year, actually a year ago this fall, I got my neighbor across the street growing oysters as well. So I just want for you to know that my intent, her intent, is to continue our experimentation with oysters. At this time, neither one of us, I don't think, have any interest in doing it commercially. Is simply a way to have oysters to eat and also to give to friends and family. I do have numerous leases in Back River and the Northwest branch as well as the Southwest branch. I clearly have a place that I can take my oysters, but because it's more convenient for me to take them currently to my mother's, who lives 8 miles above the York River Bridge on the York River. That's where I take them as a matter of convenience. But, I'm fully aware about, trying to eat shellfish in a polluted area. We have no intentions at all of stopping Mr. Bart from, hindering his navigation back and forth. However, as Mr. Staggs did a great job in presenting all the facts here, we've even gone as far as in telling him. We were surprised when the protest came out, and we met a couple times with him. We said, look, we don't have any plans to block your navigation to the creek. And because of the fact that you don't actually have riparian rights, we're willing for a nominal fee of $1 a year to write up something, say, hey, you can keep a boat there, go back and forth as you will. And we were surprised when he didn't drop the protest. But anyhow, that's basically all I think that I can add, unless you have any questions for me.
Any commission member have any questions? Springer, do you have anything to say?
Well, as far as Mr. Bark, he just purchased the property March 1st.
I'm sorry, state your name.
Deborah Pinkard.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Bark purchased the property March 1st of 2007. And late 2006, the Jeffries put it on the market as waterfront, deep water access, that, you know. And so our lawyer and us told them, you know, that they needed to disclose this information to any potential buyers. And I believe that it was. And Mr. Bark called me before he purchased the property and wanted to build a pier. They came up with some bogus encroachments, our fence, our driveway, and water line. And they would let us leave these encroachments if we let them build a pier out to deep water. And, you know, that would just mess up everything, you know. My privacy, our view, and our intent to try to oyster.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like to add one thing. Sure. You know, we live in a very peaceful neighborhood, and we certainly want to be good neighbors with Mr. Bart. We have no animosity toward him or his family.
Any commission member have any questions? Is any opposition here? Thank you all.
Thank you.
Man, it's before the commission.
I move to accept staff recommendation and go forward with the lease.
Second.
Second by Mr. Tackett. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Unanimous.
Abstained.
What's next?
Did y'all do number the McLeod case?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You did two while I was gone?
Yeah. We were cooking. I think we...
December 4th, we're in the half-tent.
Next item on the agenda is public comments. Those are those items that are not on the agenda, which will afford the public the opportunity to speak to the commission. Who's first? Kent? Come on down.